The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Wednesday. We thank you all so much for joining us today. I know we've covered a lot of issues, some of them a little bit lighter, some of them a little bit heavier. But we have more to get to in this last hour. And I'm thrilled to be joined with someone who I have to assume right now, especially, is very busy. Justin Manning from JJ Manning Auctioneers. He is on the show and he's going to take all my questions. By the way, if you have any questions about the real estate market, you can always text them into 617-213-1066. Justin, thanks for coming on and let's get right into it. Can you give us, from your perspective in your industry, give us a rundown of the history of banking for this new generation, but also more simply, what happens to the real estate market when banks fail?
Thanks, Grace. Happy to be on. And, you know, what ends up happening is a lot of the younger generation hasn't been through the experience or history of what can happen in times like now. And I'm not being Chicken Little right now. I think what we're seeing is a slow slide in the direction that I think we've expected for a while based upon a lot of government policies that have been put in place. But when you've got banks that fail, in essence, what it means is with banks, the loans that they have are their assets and the deposits that they have are their liabilities. And so what ends up happening is in a time like now that if they don't have the deposits necessary to match up against the loans that they've got out there, the ratio gets kind of upside down. The FDIC doesn't like it. They scrutinize it and you start to get this kind of ripple effect that's going on. And right now we're hearing rumblings about Credit Suisse Bank out of Europe. That's a $750 billion bank. They're having some issues right now with getting deposits in the bank to be able to maintain the ratios needed to not run into the problems that we did with SVB and Signature Bank. And, you know, I really hope it doesn't happen to more of them, but these are not good signs for the actual economy, because whenever the FDIC has to step in, you know, that means the bank failed. The FDIC has to step in and basically take over and do the best they can with what residue is left there.
Now, break it down even further for us, though, Justin. Like, if you're someone who is thinking about selling, or if you're someone who's thinking about buying and you're in one of those situations and you're looking at this and you're not exactly sure what's about to happen or how it's going to affect you, like, what would you advise people in those circumstances?
Okay. Sure. So the one thing we have to understand now is when you get this volatility like we have with the economy, the Fed's going to have to tiptoe very carefully. So what one would expect is that the Fed's probably not going to continue to raise rates to combat inflation. Why? Because by doing so, they actually could create more reverberations and affect our economic stability. So your rates are probably going to hold. So for a buyer, you might say to yourself, okay, rates are probably going to continue to go up, but they're probably going to hold for now. So as a buyer, whatever you could lock into now for a rate, I think now's the time, because we're not going to get back to the foolishly low rates that we had. So right now is probably the best you're going to do for many years. And then from a seller's perspective, we've been thinking that there was going to be a slide, and we've been talking about it for a long time, and it hasn't happened. Well, now we've got direct evidence showing that there is a slide. So if you are a seller, right now is the best time to get out if you want to get out.
Interesting. And when you're dealing with a situation like this, and as you pointed out, it has a ripple effect, it kind of trickles into other industries. Something else that I've been hearing a lot about, Justin, is that perhaps banking, and this is from Bloomberg, it said banking's next threat, it might be commercial real estate. If the saga at Silicon Valley Bank hastens the arrival of the next recession, expect to see many more properties go into default sooner rather than later. Tell us a little bit about commercial real estate and what you expect on that front.
This is an amazing topic right now, because what's happening is on some of these gargantuan commercial loans, on some of these high rises in cities downtown, especially office buildings, is some of them are sliding into a default zone. And so what that means is something's got to give. And what I'm hearing is that some of these borrowers, and when I say a borrower, it's not an individual, it's a gigantic, you know, investment firm or gigantic corporation, they're actually going into default on purpose to start the process of renegotiating with the lender. In other words, they're planning to go into default on these big office buildings on purpose in order to then renegotiate their loan with the bank, because the banks are not going to want to take this tsunami of properties in. Banks are not in the business of owning real estate. They're in the business of lending money and earning interest on the money. So it's a really big shift right now, because office has been a problem, Grace. Office properties that have not been repurposed into residential that needed to be are going to be in trouble now. And so the offices, the commercial office segment, will be one of the first that is affected by some of the foreclosures that will arise out of just the banks foreclosing themselves, or in these instances of the FDIC stepping in and getting involved as well.
And Justin, beyond commercial real estate, just to kind of go back here to some of our listeners who might be considering buying or selling, I have one last question for you. We are coming into the spring. There's talk that there's going to be a lot more in the market. I know from friends I have who have been looking for houses, especially in some of these coveted, you know, towns in Massachusetts, that there's really been nothing out there. So now people are going to start putting their houses out there, try to get the most money they can. What would your number one tip be for someone selling a property, and what would your number one tip be for someone buying a property?
So for someone selling, I would say hire us immediately. No, that's too self-serving. For someone, well, we've got two right now. We have a Grace and Howie listeners are selling right now in Melrose next week, and then in Rentham in a couple, 2-3 weeks. They're on our website. But those people have said, okay, I want to sell now. I want to sell as is. I don't want to get caught up in a contingency that's going to blow up my sale, because I do want to sell in this window of opportunity. So I think a seller right now needs to try to move forward in a sale that's going to be, I guess, very efficient, and not get hung up with someone that needs to sell another house, right? I think right now it would be for someone that's, you know, in the buying market, you have to be careful as far as negotiating. So I guess what I'd say is if you're selling a property and the buyer is going to put in a clause that requires a sale of another property, I think that's bad timing right now, because by the time that gets put together or gets delayed, you might get much less money in the future. From a buyer, I think you can exude a little bit more patience and not be so panicky jumping in like we've had to, and potentially be able to negotiate a little bit, which is not something that has happened for the past few years.
Justin Manning, we thank you so much for coming on. And like you said, your number one tip would be to go to JJ Manning Auctioneers. So tell people where they can find you.
Contact my man Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111, or visit the website jjmanning.com. And again, whatever you're planning on doing, I think sooner the better, both ends, for the buyers to lock into a rate and for the sellers to lock into a decent price at the moment.
All right. Thank you very much to Justin Manning for joining us. Now, in the next segment, and we'll see how long we take this for, but I'm curious if people are going to call in, if people will have some thoughts on this, because I've seen the Chiron on Fox. I heard Brian Kilmeade talking about it today, and it is interesting. So Pope Francis says that he might lift the celibacy requirements for priests. And this is from the Jerusalem Post. Pope Francis, in his latest interview, has hinted that he would review the Roman Catholic Church's rule of priestly celibacy. And he talked about in the interview that there is no contradiction for a priest to marry. He said celibacy in the Western Church is a temporary prescription. It is not eternal like priestly ordination, which is forever, whether you like it or not. Whether you leave or not is another matter, but it is forever. On the other hand, celibacy is a discipline. Now, celibacy in the church has been mandated, at least in the Catholic Church, since the 11th century. So this would be a pretty big deal. And I should add in, this kind of comes up every once in a while. People throw this out there. They suggest it. They say, listen, there's not a lot of priests who are, there's not a lot of people who are becoming priests. And if you want to increase that number of applicants, then maybe this is a way to do it. I think from my limited knowledge on the topic, I look at this and I go, doesn't sound like a terrible idea. I'd be curious what other people have to say about it. So the number is 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
There's a new report out from the New York Post. It says George Santos' brokered super yacht deal between donors draws scrutiny. Nothing about that seems to raise a red flag to me. George Santos drawing scrutiny once again. Kind of a standing headline. Maybe I'll get to that a little bit later. But I did set up this next segment. I'm really asking the callers. I could be swayed either way on this. I could be convinced either way. And so I wanted to hear from people about this report that's really picked up a lot of traction. It's made national news. That Pope Francis says he might lift the celibacy requirement for priests. And I wanted to know, do you think this is a good idea? If so, make your case. Tell us why. The number is 844-500-4242. We've already had people on the lines for this. Let's go to Bill. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Grace. Yeah, I recently retired as a pastor of 30 years and have my master's of divinity, all that. I was married in the Catholic Church. However, my wife and I left the Catholic Church before I ever went into ministry. And the whole idea of celibacy in the Catholic Church, as far as the teachings of Scripture, is an edict that was made by the Church. It's not something that has been spelled out in Scripture that is to be mandatory for anybody going into pastoral ministry. And the problem that I believe the Catholic Church has experienced is that they have force a man-made rule upon all the men that are going to be in ministry to be celibate, when in fact what the Apostle Paul talks about and Peter talks about in their epistles is the fact that celibacy is a gift. And when you kind of read between the lines, after reading what the normal experiences of sex between men and women are as far as married men and women, you see that the gift of celibacy is extremely rare. Which means, so now you're forcing men who want to go into the priesthood to become celibate, when in fact it goes against everything in their nature. And I believe that that has played a huge part in everything that's gone down in the church concerning, well, you know the rest of the story with pedophilia and molestations and that whole can of worms.
Thank you for the call, Bill. I guess my question would be, And I don't know if that's I don't know. That's something that it's a whole nother issue, which obviously we don't want to get into right now in this conversation, but I understand why it would come up as we're talking about this. But my question is, I wonder if this would cause like a bunch of people, a a surplus of people to want to become priests. Because if you take away the celibacy, I have to imagine that some people would think this is a good gig. You still get to be married, you get to have a family. And so if you take away what I would consider a major drawback of it, I wonder if you get a bunch of people. I mean, obviously there's a lot that goes into becoming a priest. So it's not like you just sign up, like you fill out a survey online or something. But let's go to Greg. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, thank you, Grace. Greg, I'm from South Boston. I played Little League with either your uncles or your dad back in the day, Grace. Love you and love the show.
Thank you, sir.
So I was, like I said, thank you. Born and raised in South Boston, and I was the only Ukrainian on my block. And I was raised as Ukrainian Catholic, and it's also known as Eastern Rite Catholic. Grace, our priest is married in our church over there in Jamaica Plain, and he's a brilliant theologian. We are Catholic. We're not Orthodox, although many of our traditions are more closely resemble Orthodox, but we are Catholics. We, believe in everything the Roman Catholics belong to, believe in. I went to both Roman Catholic Church and my Ukrainian Catholic Church over in Jamaica Plain growing up. And, my dad embraced both sides of it. He was the Eastern Rite Catholic. My mom was Roman Catholic. So we are Catholics, yet we have priests that married. We have had priests over the years that aren't married as well. And I forget, you kind of just brought up an interesting point before I got on, which was I forget if you are married. I think if you are married, you can become a priest. But if you become a priest, you don't go out and get married then, something like that.
I'm not sure on the exact rule, but that's interesting. And you know, I do wonder, kind of going back to that last caller, I do wonder if you allow, oh my God, we have full lines on this. Oh, we might have to take this over to the next segment. If you do allow priests to get married, is that, in my mind, it makes more sense. I want to be very careful what I say, because I don't want to offend anybody, especially, our religious listeners or anything like that. But it feels like there's something unnatural about having people not be married if they wanted to be married, and telling them they have to be celibate if they don't want to be. And I do wonder if you create a healthier culture and a happier culture if you just let people get married and still continue on in being priests. It's worth asking. And the fact that the Pope is asking that question and that he's reviewing this is very, very interesting. Let's go to Joe. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Grace. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Listen, the way I feel is this is just another woke thing, and it's reached the Vatican. That's all. I mean, pretty soon nuns will be able to go out and sell their bodies.
I don't know if it's going to get that far. I don't know if this is a woke thing. Like, go back to what that caller said about this was a man-made thing that was never really in the scriptures. It was from the church. So if anything, it feels like a kind of not woke thing.
But yeah, the Pope Francis is notably progressive in his thinking compared to previous popes, and has been accused of being woke, and I think that's where he was coming from on that one.
But I don't know if the idea itself is woke,
the idea
just because
been
he's
around.
Woke.
Yeah.
He did say also, which I thought was interesting in this interview, he said he thinks people are marrying too young. And he said, sometimes one goes to a wedding and it seems more like it's a social reception and not a sacrament. When young people say forever, who knows what they mean by forever? I would totally agree with that. People used to say that to me all the time. They'd say, why are you postponing? Why don't you just get married and then just throw a big party? And I was like, well, I kind of want people to come see us get married in the church. It's about the wedding. It's about the sacrament. We'll be back. We'll take more of your calls after this.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We are talking about whether or not priests in the Catholic Church should be able to marry. And we're getting some interesting texts here. One person points out, I think this was a 617, says, I think not marrying was with the idea that their focus was purely on God and not divided on a spouse, but I think it should not be a restriction. 508 says, Grace, many good men left the priesthood because of the marriage issue. Let's go to the callers here. Mike, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I can tell you, Grace, hi. I can tell you that back in the old days, it was hard for priests to be married because they had to travel around to spread the word of God. Well, it's not the way it is today. But also, the same religion is the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, and those priests get married. They've always gotten married. It's only the monks that don't get married because they live in monasteries, more, you know, solo lifestyle. But priests in the Greek Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox, they get married.
And I wonder, do they have a better, do they have more people who want to become priests because they don't have the restriction?
I believe that is the case because, you know, that does get in the way.
Yeah.
That's a big decision, big factor. You know, they're married, they have kids, and they, you know, I grew up in a Greek neighborhood in Astoria, Queens, and, you know, they have Greek Orthodox priests sitting with their family, with their kids, with their wives, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same religion. There was a schism that happened at one point where the Catholics went their own direction. And that's how the Catholic, you know, started. I'm no expert on this, but this basic, you know. But that's how that started. But they were always allowed to get married before that, as far as I know. And I know with the Greek Orthodox, they've always been married.
Well, thank you for the call, Mike. You know more than I do. And I'm sure there's people listening going, well, she's not an expert either, Mike, so don't feel bad. No, I appreciate it. That's an interesting insight. And that's the second time someone's brought up the Greek Orthodox Church and how they do things. Let's go to Charlie. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hi, Grace. Doing a great job. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
I have a different... a different view on this, and I don't remember.
Oh, sorry, Charlie. Hold on. We're gonna try to pot you back up. Can you? I don't know if you're hitting your phone or you got your radio on. Let's try Charlie again. Are you there, Charlie?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, it sounds good now.
Okay. I was told, and I don't remember where it came from, that the reason they wanted Roman Catholic priests or Catholic priests to be celibate and not get married or have families is because they were afraid of losing the wealth that they accumulated during their lives. This way here, all of the money and properties or whatever ends up going to the Vatican. Prior to that, you know, if you have a family and stuff and you pass away, it goes on to your family. So this is a way of the Vatican, so to speak, controlling any money that comes into the church. It goes to them. That's what my recollection was. And that's why that kind of showed up, because they weren't getting any of the money that was accumulated by the priests that were out there at that day. And I'm interested in hearing from the rest of your callers. Doing a great job. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for the kind words. Yeah, that would make sense. But nowadays, like that other person, the other caller, I'm sorry if I'm forgetting his name now, said about priests having to travel and spread the word. A lot of this stuff would make sense at the time, but doesn't really hold up now. And like, for example, in a lot of these churches, a lot of these Catholic churches, they're definitely struggling to raise money. They're definitely struggling with funds. And I don't think that they're and I could be wrong, I could be totally wrong on this, but I don't think that they're coming into a lot of money when a priest passes away that like he would be able to give to his family that's kind of sustaining the church in any way. Again, maybe I'm wrong on that, but it just seems like something that is a little dated. Let's go to Stephen. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yes, I think it's a bad idea. I think the next step is going to be gay marriage.
Now we're kind of talking about two different issues. And I don't really know how one leads to the other, like just letting priests get married. But if you think it's a bad idea, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of Catholics out there who are listening who think it's a bad idea. Todd, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking the call. Interesting discussion. I've always found it fascinating that St. Peter was married, and how they broke away from it after that is beyond me. But my reason I called today was, I don't know if you also heard the Pope say that he was completely against gender pronouns, and he referred to it as the colonization of the Americas and of the church, and that he was completely against it. Wondering what you had to think about that.
I didn't see that part of it. I was reading from the Jerusalem Times, and they brought up what he said about priests marrying and reviewing that. And they also brought up his opinion that people are getting married too young, and that has to do with the high rate of divorce in this country, or maybe around the world. I'm not sure which one he was referring to, but it didn't say anything about pronouns. I'll have to look into that, Todd. I do apologize. It did not include that in the interview. I found that his remarks on divorce were very, very debatable. Like, I'm not so sure that the rate of divorce and what he said about people getting married and treating it as more of a party, like, you know, you've met people like that who it's so much about the wedding, you know, and the donut display and the pictures and the Instagrams. And that's a really fun part of it. Don't get me wrong. But that it's more about that than it is about the fact that, hey, just so you know, you're going to be spending the rest of your life with this person, so maybe really think about it. But he attributed that to people getting married very young. And I'm not so convinced. I'm really not. I think maybe it's just a shift in our values, and that maybe people make these decisions and they don't think about whether it's going to, and I'm not at all trying to shame anybody for any decisions they make, but maybe younger people do make those decisions more often. But I don't know if I would attribute the rate of divorce to people getting married young, because I know a lot of people who got married very young and they stayed together forever and they're very happy. So I don't really know, but I do agree with him in the sense that it's less about the sacrament for a lot of people on their wedding, and it's more about the party. And I remember saying to my dad, I said, I think I'm going to do a full mass, because I saw my brother's full mass and I thought, oh, this is so nice. But before that, I was one of those people who was like, I don't want to be in there for an hour. I don't want to be. My dad said, if you can't sit through a mass the day of your wedding, then that's not a good sign. And I said, no, I want to sit through the mass. And then actually, when you do the full mass, it really does have something special about it where it feels very, I hate to say it like this, this is just layman's terms, feels very legit. Like you walk out of there and you're like, we are married. But the Pope's point was more, people are just going in there, they're getting married, and then, you know, it's kind of an afterthought, the fact that you're going to be together forever. Bob, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Thanks for having me, Grace, and taking my call. So if you look and read in the scripture in the Gospels, Jesus actually gathers his disciples together and tells them that if you're going to follow me, then you're going to have no brothers, no sisters, no family members with you. You're to drop everybody in your family and come and follow me. So I think it's about not having, for lack of better terms, any baggage. It's about being clear and free of any relationship with anything else other than God, so that you've got a clear mind solely so that you can concentrate on God.
Yeah, that makes sense. That totally does make sense. And I think that probably was the idea behind it. By the way, 781 says, I'm not buying that Vatican stuff. Most priests have brothers and sisters. Their inheritance can go to them. Yeah, I think he was just throwing that out there, that that's something that's been said before in history. I'm not sure if it's, you know, 100% the case for why they don't want people to get married. I think it's probably more of what that last caller just said, Bob, who said, you know, it's so you can focus on God and not be focused on anything else. Claire, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Claire.
Hi, Grace. I'd just like to add, as the wife of a deacon in the Archdiocese of Boston, that the Catholic Church, in my opinion, is hardly ready to support men with families. It's a great sacrifice to be a deacon, and it's a big sacrifice for the family. If priests were ordained, they would need really probably triple the salary to even have a living wage to support their families. And I don't think the Archdiocese can afford that. And I don't think it's a good, I don't think it's a good thing. So just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, Claire, I appreciate that. And you're right. The finances definitely do play a major factor in this. The church is struggling as is, I think, to keep up with finances. And you're right. It factors in a lot more when you've got people getting married and having families they have to support. So I think that's a very valid point. Thank you all so much. I know we still have people who want to talk about it. We are going to move on, unfortunately. But I love, it's a funny thing. Most things that I talk about on this show, I've got a strong stance on. Gets me into a lot of trouble. Once in a while, something comes across my desk and I go, huh, I'd like to hear. I'd like everybody to make their case. And there were plenty of good points right there from all the listeners. So I do appreciate it. It is a beautiful day, Jared. And I couldn't say that yesterday. Yesterday was a beautiful day, but it was cold. It was a winter day. Now we're looking at the sun and I have a feeling, knock on wood, that we're cruising into spring. And when we start cruising into spring, you know what that means for me. That means it's grilling season. That means steaks, chickens. That means hamburgers, hot dogs, all on the grill. I love a cast iron, but there's nothing better when it starts getting warmer out than, you know, revving up the grill and cooking some burgers and hot dogs. And at Omaha Steaks, you're not just cooking burgers and hot dogs. You're cooking up and grilling up the best burgers and hot dogs around. You're saving tons of money because you're not going to get this deal anywhere else. And did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? So you're also saving, you're not just saving money, you're saving yourself a trip to the grocery store, which is kind of priceless when you really think about it. When you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code GRACE at checkout, you'll get an additional $30 off your order. The reason I say additional $30 off is because they're currently running their semi-annual sale that's 50% off site-wide. So you can grab all your favorites for 50% off site-wide, then use code GRACE for that additional $30 off. Now, it's the perfect way to spring into something special. Don't wait. Don't put this off. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Take advantage of this deal. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away. You're going to want to hurry because, like I said, the 50% off part of this, that site-wide sale, that's only happening for a limited time. So don't wait. And also, don't miss your chance to save an additional $30 off when you use code GRACE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Get an additional $30 off when you shop their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required. And let us know what you end up cooking when you go to omahasteaks.com.
And also want to add, I'm on the website right now. This time of year, they do have corned beef available at Omaha Steaks.
Ooh, so are you a corned beef guy?
I am a corned beef guy. I'm actually making one for the first, I'm doing the whole thing for the first time that I've done it. This Saturday.
Are you Irish?
I am not.
Very good. Am I allowed to ask you that on the air? Am I about to get a call from HR?
No, that's one of the ones you can ask, remember?
Oh, right, right, right.
That's
right,
one of the yes ask, yes tell.
That's the unprotected class. You can ask about the Irish. Are you Irish? Well, you're not stupid. There are many non-surgical facelift methods on the market, but Dr. Curtis Birchall's methods are the very best. To get your non-surgical painless facelift, go to painlessfacelift.com and use discount code GRACEBOGO. That's painlessfacelift.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who do you think is the new Biden family member who got a cut of the $3 million wire? Sarah, Dr. Jill, Naomi, Ashley, Valerie, or other?
I can't give up on Valerie now. I can't turn my back on her now. I voted for her for the last 2 hours. I got to stick with my girl. Let's go, Val.
Valerie's only at 8%, tied with Naomi, 7% for Sarah and other, 11% for Ashley, and 58%. Or Dr. Jill.
Oh,
Nana.
Isn't that nice? She's the belle of the ball yet again, stealing everyone's thunder.
Si se puede!
When we come back, we're going to talk to Howie Carr. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, your all-wheel drive headquarters. When roads get messy, a Toyota all-wheel drive car, SUV, or truck will ease some stress in your commute. RAV4, which is what I have, Tacoma, Camry, Highlander, 4Runner, get yours online now at toyotaofportsmouth.com. So Howie Carr has a very, very insightful article out in the Boston Herald where he talks about who's getting handouts and who is not getting handouts. And whether it's a handout, a bailout, whatever you want to call it, it certainly pays to be a Democrat. And I'm just going to read you a little bit here from Howie's latest piece. It's all scams all the time. The only ones who aren't getting endless funds lavished upon them are the people in Ohio, and we all know why. Their county voted 72% for Trump. They're deplorables, in other words, bitter clingers. This latest payoff to Democrats comes a week after Biden's budget, which was nothing but more welfare. And whether or not you agree with him, he's going to tell you how he feels. And it is interesting to watch. You know, you have these Gavin Newsom types, and Gavin Newsom himself, obviously, who are all praising this decision by Joe Biden. They're very happy with Joe's decision to make these depositors whole. And they want to blame Donald Trump. They want to blame the regulations. But what good are these regulations if no one's going to enforce them? It kind of goes back to what we talk about with the Second Amendment. You can put as many laws on the books as you want, but if everyone's going to ignore them and look the other way and let people out of prison and let people recommit crimes, then what does drawing up more rules do? All it does is it punishes people who are following the rules. 844-500-4242. If you want to talk about scams, we could talk about George Santos, but I'm going to wait on that. Joining us now is Howie Carr. Howie, so we just talked a little bit about your article. You talk about the welfare, the scams, all the time. And then you actually go into one of the biggest scams of all that has nothing to do with SVB, and that has to do with EDD. Tell us about that.
Oh, EDD? Yeah, this woman named Julie Sue, she's going to be the next labor secretary. She ran the EDD, is what they call the unemployment office in California. And they gave away $11 billion in fraudulent COVID unemployment, in at least $11 billion. Probably the over that was just in 2020. When you include 21 and 22, it's probably up close to $30 or $40 billion.
And so the woman who ran this department, surely she's been fired, or she's not going to.
No, she got the number two job in the labor department, and then because of equity, and they had no Pacific Islanders or Asians in the cabinet, she's an automatic promotion to Secretary of Labor now. Under there'll be some people asking her, you know, did you ever think that, you know, when you were just writing all those checks and they were being delivered to the death row at San Quentin, did you think maybe there was a problem with fraud, Madam Sue? But of course, she'll just say, you know, you do know I'm Asian, right? So I get a pass.
The Biden administration really does have a habit of finding people who have failed miserably and just giving them promotion after promotion until they reach the very, very top, Howie.
Yeah, well, let's hope that Pete Buttigieg and Julie Sue and all the rest of them don't get to the very, very top.
I don't know.
But they're close enough to really screw things up royally. And I would throw Janet Yellen in there, too, right about
Hey,
now.
Don't rule Janet Yellen out for 2024. She's a presidential contender in my book. Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
People are home more than ever, and now is the time to clean or update your home with Kennedy Carpet's new luxury vinyl flooring that looks as good as wood. Kennedy Carpet is an old-fashioned company that still answers their phones and sends out their flooring technicians and not a subcontractor. Find out all the new flooring options they offer today in your home or visit their beautiful showrooms in Needham and Weymouth. 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY. Kennedy.